Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we are so grateful that we can come to you anytime, all the time. Lord, we thank you for loving us so much that you don't just let us stay in a position of either really down or really up, but we need to come to you continually. That's what you want from us. Not what we can get from you, but we want you, Lord. We want you. And so be in our hearts today, Lord, as we look at your Bible and your word in our Bible once again, in Jesus' name. Well, this morning we have, I think, one of a fantastic, stunning faith demonstrated in a prayer going way back to the first book in the Bible, the book of Job. Now, this does not precede the first 11 chapters in Genesis, but it probably comes thereafter, and this is probably before Abraham's time. You know the story of Job, but where he ended up being the demonstrator of faithfulness to God, even in great affliction and in great trial. And we have here his first prayer that we have. Good morning. We have his first prayer here in chapter 1, and in chapter 1 we had that heavenly scene where the angels, the B'nai Elohim, were coming before the Father in heaven, and among them was Satan. So we see a very interesting interaction between Satan and God, which we have very few as clear as this in the scripture. And one of the things we see that Satan always goes to the end of the chain that the Lord allows him, but he can't do anything without God's permission. So you don't have to worry about Satan running amok and trampling all over you and then just having no restraints, because he can't do that. He can tempt you, test you, hassle you, but he can't have you. So we see now that Job was known as a good man. God calls him a blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. Oh, I wish that could be said of us, right? God asked Satan, he says, have you considered my servant Job? Yeah. Richest man in the East. All you've done for him, no matter he loves you. So Satan's premise is nobody loves God because of who God is. Satan's premise is you love God for the perks you can get. And a lot of us kind of feel that way, I think, in a sense. This is what I want from God. I'm not so much interested in God. I'm just interested in what I get from him, right? I mean, check your prayers out at times and see how your prayer life really is. Whether it's just a list of gimme, 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 gimmes, you know, or do I really want you? Do I really want you? So we see then that Satan was told by God, okay, you say that he's just in it for the perks. So you have the license to take some perks away. So immediately, what happens in one day? Job loses his cattle. He loses his donkeys, he loses his sheep, he loses 10 children. How many do you know that have lost a child and get so distraught, maybe for the rest of their lives or certainly for years? Here's a man who loses 10 children in one day. Now, Job did not have the Holy Spirit in him. Job did not have any scriptures available to him. Job did not have the history of the Messiah coming behind him like we do, or before him as we do. So we are in infinitely better position than Job could have ever been. But yet he demonstrates such faith here that it is truly remarkable. So as this all happened, we read then in verse 20, then Job arose. Well, let me read 19. Suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, his children, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. And this all happened in one day. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head. And he fell to the ground and worshipped. Is that amazing or what? Would you have fallen to the ground and worshipped? Would you have fallen to the ground and cursed God? How could you do this to me? You took 10 of my children. Job didn't know any of this was going on in terms of a heavenly scene. All he knew is the effects it was on his life. And we will see in the first 37 chapters of that book that he is greatly perplexed. And what does he do? The same thing that we do. In great trial, He says, why? 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 And we see the magnificence in this from chapters 38 and 42 of God coming into the picture. And how many questions of Job does God answer? None. What we need in times of great trials is not an explanation, but a revelation. A revelation of who God is. So God in chapter 38 begins 70 questions to Job, who is kind of taking the position, I'm as smart or smarter than God because I know a lot of things and I can't figure this out, right? And so God says, okay, let me ask you a few questions just to see how you can do this. You ask him, some say 77, it depends on kind of how you divide them up, but let's say just 70 plus questions. How many did Job answer? None. So maybe, Job, you've gone quite so smart as you think you are. All these questions primarily relate to the awesomeness of God. Well, they all relate to that, but in creation. And as we see the magnificence and the tremendousness of God in creation, he becomes so huge in revelation to us, our problems like disappear. What am I so worried about myself for? My, oh my, I'm one of 7 billion plus people here on earth. No temptation has overtaken me such as has not happened to other people. And I'm not going through anything that others haven't gone through much worse. We've got an eternal high priest now who's suffered more than any of us could ever suffer. Job then goes in a couple of stages, but he starts to recognize this God is a big God. If God is that big, where's the best place I can be? Trusting him. And so magnificently, God has created us with a lot of capabilities, but the one capability in this body that we don't have is the ability to see what's ahead. Who sees what's ahead? God. He knows the end from the beginning. So are you going to trust him, or are you going to trust your feelings? Are you going to trust him, or are you going to trust whatever happened in the past? Are you going to trust him and just say, oh, if you'll just heal me, Lord, if you'll just heal me. This is all I want, Lord. I just want my, you know, my arm put back or my leg put back or my cancer removed or whatever. That's not what you need. I mean, that's fine, but you're still going to die in these bodies because you're born of Adam, right? What we need is to have the revelation of him. So we know whether I'm alive or dead, I'm in his arms. I'm in the best place I could ever be. Amen? So what does Job say then? He says, he falls to the ground and worships, and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb. Anybody have an exception to that? Did you know, find an American Express credit card tacked onto your behind or anything when you were born? But no, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. Well, how much are you going to take with you? He says then, and you know this well, but he says, listen, the Lord, Yahweh, gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Isn't that an encouragement? Considering what happened to him and where he was. So I just wanted to begin this morning by, we'll sing a couple of hymns today. The last one we'll close with is Blessed Be the Lord God Almighty. But let's just begin with I surrender all as Job did surrender all. To him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. So let's sing along or listen. I surrender.
Oh, Jesus, I surrender. Thank you.
we see here in this prayer that, like it or not, Job surrendered all, with his 10 kids taken in one day and all his properties. And yet we see, as we mentioned earlier, his response was he tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground and worshipped, saying, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. So as we remember the grace that God had given him to go through that trial, and without studying the whole book of Job, it's hard to get the whole picture. But as we mentioned, what we always feel we need is explanation from God, but answers never bring us peace. What we need from God is revelation of who he is. And as we trust in him and rest in him, then we know we're in the best possible place we could be in. And he has given us that opportunity to pray. So here we are this morning, and we want to use these minutes to pray as we would be led by the Spirit, praying in one accord, thereby being unified in our prayer. So, Father, lead us now as we go to prayer, and we just thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for answering prayers. And this is the confidence we have in you, that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us, and we know if you hear us, you will grant us the petitions that we have asked. So may our prayers be in accordance with what you want. In Jesus' name, let us pray.
Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. I praise it as your people declare your mighty words.
Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who once is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord.
Thank you for meeting us here this morning. Father, help us to remember that there's only one way. There's only one way for peace. There's only one way for hope. And that is Jesus Christ. And you have said to us, the believers, you are the light of the world. Father, you've told us, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Father, may we not be surprised from the hostility of the world. As they crucified you, as they hated you, they will hate your followers. Father, help us to remember that I think the Bible tells us All human beings are created in your image. That means all human beings are eternal. Help us to remember that for the unbeliever, Lord. We say the believers live forever with you, which is certainly true. Being with you is living. But those who reject you will also, I don't say live forever, but they will exist forever. Forever in torment. Lord, how can we, knowing that, not pray for them? How can we, knowing that, not tell them about you? So, Lord, we can't save anybody, but you have said, be light, be the light in the world. And with love and truth and prayer and praise to you too, Lord, because you are the blessing God. And, Lord, we can hardly wait to be in your presence. And we just want everybody to come with us, Lord. So bless this little army as we leave now and as we go our own way and in locations and positions today where nobody else will be, that we would be true to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.